everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Outer Rim. This is episode 98. We are quickly approaching the big 100, episode 100. We're going to have to pick something special to cover on that episode, because the next episode will be The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And then episode 100 is kind of up in the air. We don't really have a topic picked out yet.
Possible we'll interview? Who knows?
We'll get Andrea on something here.
Yeah. We'll interview Andrea. That's what we'll do.
Nobody wants to hear my interview. It's okay.
Andrea, how are you doing tonight?
I am fantastic. I just had chamomile tea, so I'm pretty relaxed for this episode. I'm not going to be killing anyone.
Oh, right. That's good. That's a big relief. You have no idea. Fred, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really good. I'm maybe not as happy as Andrea is there, but pretty close.
All right. Well, you're happier now that she doesn't want to kill anybody. See, it's going to be a good episode.
Win-win.
All right. And of course, I'm Eric, and I just rolled out of bed. I did not get any sleep today. I work a night shift, so I sleep during the day, get up a couple hours before we record. Well, not tonight. I just got up. I've had no coffee. I don't know where I am. I think I'm somewhere on the East Coast at the moment. But Andrea doesn't want to kill anybody, so I'm going to be okay. It's going to be good. Tonight, we are going to talk about Resistance. Now that we have the first three episodes aired, and I think the fourth one is coming pretty soon here, we're going to talk a little bit about what we think so far. We did a little bit of a preview before it came out, talked about some of the characters, what we were looking forward to, and now we've seen it. So the big question is, what did we think? Did it exceed our expectations? Does it suck? Is it somewhere in between? We are going to break it down for you. So, where to begin? Director Justin Ridge. Now, we've got the show notes here. Did Justin direct all three of these first episodes?
I just went to the wiki page and I put him as the director overall. Okay, I put Dave Filoni as the created by. But I know they've been working closely together.
Okay. Actually, we've got different directors for each of the episodes so far. So as of this recording, we have The Recruit, which was parts 1 and 2. We have The Triple Dark, which is the second aired episode, though it's technically episode 3. And then Fuel for the Fire, which is technically episode 4. They were directed by Stuart Lee and Saul Ruiz for The Recruit. Sergio Paez, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, did The Triple Dark. And Bosco Nigg, Fuel for the Fire. I always do bad when the last name's just NG. I'm like, there's no vowel. I don't know how to do this. So I hope I didn't butcher those too bad. Hopefully they'll forgive us. So
better than I can do.
What did you guys think? Fred, what is your, just in a nutshell, your overall thoughts on Resistance so far? And then we'll get into actually tearing it apart and analyzing it.
Okay, so the first double episode really hooked me. I really enjoyed it. I really wanted to like it, and it succeeded. And then I got into Triple Dark and felt that was the first filler episode. So yeah. Kind of like a 1-2 punch. I really enjoyed it, and then it kind of fell off. But then following it up with the next episode, I thought it was much better.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Andrea, what did you think?
I enjoyed the first one. I thought it was a just really nice introduction to the characters. We see Cass, we see Jaeger, we see a little bit of Poe's influence on everything that's going on. So I really enjoyed it. I thought it set the Colossus up to be sort of mysterious and something very entertaining and funny. During the second watch, I found myself smiling because of like all the aliens and their little quirks are just enjoyable. Triple Dark and the other episode, what was it called again?
Fuel for the Fire.
A part of me is not enjoying Kaz as much as I should. And I think that we'll dive in deeper into this as we do the discussion. But going back and rewatching the episode, I'm kind of understanding him as a character a little bit more. It's okay. It's watchable. I'm enjoying it. There's moments where I can smile. I feel like primarily because of Niku. I said I was going to enjoy that character, and I am.
You had some concerns, though, about Niku.
Yes, I did.
You were worried.
My concerns were that they were just going to create him into this stupid character that is just too funny that he's dumb. And right. He's not. He has his moments, and I really enjoy him. I have a soft spot for him, so.
Yeah. I am not yet fully sold on this series. I like the animation style. I was a little skeptical of it at first. In fact, when we first saw that initial still for just the logo banner for the series, I hated it. I saw some stills from the actual animation, and I was kind of on the fence. The more I've seen it animated, the more I've liked it. And watching the episodes now, I really enjoy the animation style. I was not expecting to, but I truly do. For the most part, I enjoy the characters, and I think the series will become very good. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm not sold. It does skew a little younger, it feels like, than Rebels did. The first three episodes, two of the three were okay. One, you know, as you said, Fred, it was basically a filler episode. But I felt this way during Rebels and Clone Wars, too. I did not appreciate Rebels until later in the first season. And I really did not like Clone Wars at all until I was able to catch some of the late second season and then went back and started Clone Wars from the beginning. And I'm glad that I did. Clone Wars was a great series. Eventually, it started out kind of rough, though.
Now, I felt very similar watching Rebels that it took a bit to grow on me, but both Rebels and Clone Wars felt like Star Wars. Yeah. Now, this one, the opening episode, the two-parter, it felt like Star Wars, but it's kind of starting to fade off for me. So I really want them to bring that feeling back. I think that I'm kind of waiting for that.
Yeah. I think what's going to help is my understanding is that in the fourth episode, the fourth aired episode, it's production episode 105. I hate when they take the pilot and they split it up into two.
Yeah.
Parts. Yeah.
But the upcoming episode, The High Tower, my understanding is that we're going to get to see a little bit of the First Order. So hopefully that will make it feel a little bit more like the classic, you know, Rebels versus Stormtroopers sort of thing.
Can we confess something?
Okay.
Fran and I already watched it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say much about it, but it was good.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit without spoilers. Now, I need to backtrack. I've been a little bit out of it for the last week. I've been under the weather, et cetera. But has it aired yet? Because I didn't see it on my DVR. Is it just available in Canada?
Technically, if you have the Disney app, you can watch the next week's episode 1 week early.
So they are going to continue doing that. That's good to know.
Yeah. So that's continued. It airs. We're recording on October 28th. So it does air tonight.
Okay. So I can watch it on my lunch break at work. That's good. All right. So in that case, it will have aired by the time we get this posted, and I'm okay with spoilers for myself. So if you guys want to talk spoilers, that's okay then. I mean, let's not spoil anything super heavy, but, you know, it's something where if people are catching up, they're not going to get turned off to the episode, but let's talk a little bit about it. How did you feel about this episode as compared to the first three that we got?
I feel like it's Star Wars starting to wake up.
Okay.
We saw Stormtroopers. We were starting to see the First Order coming to Colossus and what that means.
So it's building a little bit of tension between
the
characters and the First Order. And you can start to see some of the pieces being fit into place.
Yeah.
Good.
And at this point, you just it's kind of like you don't know who to trust and who's being faithful and who's being honest. So it's really nice just to see you're kind of playing detective at this point too.
Good. So that's basically what they had promised us the series was going to be about from the beginning. It's a little bit disappointing that they waited until the fourth episode or the fifth production episode to get into that. Yeah. And I can understand people's frustration with that. I have to say the first episode was good. It was a good introduction to the characters. Andrea, like you said, a lot of cool aliens. I think it was a good introduction to Kaz. The second episode, I think what they're probably trying to do is foreshadow some of the unaffiliated bad guys, as in not Resistance, not First Order, but just, you know, general pilots, pirates or smugglers or scum and villainy.
Kind of like macro world building.
Right, right. And I imagine we're going to see those characters later on, even though we really didn't give a crap about them in this particular episode. I think it's supposed to be something where later on we say, oh, yeah, I remember the second episode we saw those guys.
Well, the thing is that for the second episode, it's kind of driving the idea that nothing should be more important than joining the Resistance, than fighting the First Order, destroying the Empire and all that stuff. That should be like the main focus for everyone. But in the Outer Rim, in different parts of the galaxy, that's not the main priority.
Right.
So one of the things that Yeager says to Kaz is, and I wrote it down, it says, there are people that don't even know about the Resistance, but it's not the average person you need to be worried about. So it's very important for him to just, like, as a character who has been given the task to spy and find out these things, he needs to tone it down in a lot of ways, because he's always like voicing and it's like, oh, I shouldn't be a mechanic, I should be doing this for Poe Dameron, and it's like, No, you need to become part of this Colossus and assume that identity first. And it's very interesting because it kind of has that political and cultural undertone that there are so many things happening around the world, but we choose to just focus on where we are at.
Right.
And unless it affects us directly, like the pirates coming to the Colossus, we're just going to be betting. We're just going to be looking at the races. We're just going to be enjoying our base.
Right.
So I thought that was what it was trying to showcase, that although they feel like they're secluded, that it's not going to affect them, First Order is going to come, a lot more threats are going to come, and that's when they're going to become part of this whole entire mix of the universe. So,
you know, that, and that's a really good point, and you can kind of look at it from two different themes too. One about the importance of not living in a microcosm and mm-hmm. being able to understand that there are things going on beyond you, and the importance of having a much larger worldview. I mean, in Star Wars, galaxy view, I guess.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side too, when you come in and you're someone like Kaz and you understand everything that's going on in this grand scheme of things, you need to be able to understand that the day-to-day lives of people sometimes is a struggle for them that you might not understand and you might not be experiencing. And so you need to be able to find ways to relate to what they're going through on a day-to-day basis and integrate yourself into that subculture. So I guess regardless of which of the two angles you approach that from, it, there are some good themes going on there. However, so simplified in
exactly,
this episode,
yeah.
But it's for, you know, it's for kids. It's for families, I should say, but it is supposed to also be accessible to kids. So how deep do you really get into something like that? I think they did okay with presenting some of this stuff. I can't really complain too much about that second episode, given that it's only the second episode. I do feel like they probably should have introduced some of the larger story arcs and some of the tension a little bit sooner. But
I just find it funny that it's like, oh, filler episode, but let's just throw Phasma in there just at the very end, just to make sure that you remember This is not just space pirates. It was funny. I felt really bad for that alien who was in the Colossus, and he was the one that dropped his little speaker thingy, and then you see him like on his knees tied up, and it was so sad. I felt so bad for him, and I shouldn't have felt bad for him, but I was like, oh, he's dead. He's so dead.
And he's a bad guy.
You don't feel sorry for people you should hit. Do you? I know there's some different terminology between Canada and America, but here in America, we have a word called sociopath. and it has to do, Andrea, I'll get with you later.
No, you know what? I have heard so much about sociopaths in the last 2 months. Not because of me, I promise.
Oh, okay.
Sure. You're going with this.
Yeah. All right.
Moving on. Star Wars order. Resistance.
Yeah. Well, let's talk
court
about
order therapy.
Let's talk about the characters a little bit. Kaz obviously is the lead character. He's the one that you're supposed to care about. Fred, you seem to have some reservations about him.
Well, I think I put in the notes here, who whines more, Kaz or Luke?
Ooh. I would have to say that Luke's whining was a little more childish, but... And it was supposed to. We're supposed to be watching Luke's journey. But I think that's exactly where we end up going with Kaz, is it's another Luke. It's another Ezra. It's another, you know, you start out small and you grow into being the hero. But in this, you mentioned earlier, it didn't feel that much like Star Wars. We don't have any Jedi, which I'm okay with, but you do have to admit that does make it feel a little less like traditional Star Wars. And Kaz is not a Jedi. Kaz is kind of full of himself. He's immature. He makes really childish decisions. But in a lot of ways, he feels like Ezra without some of the hardship that Ezra had to go through in losing his parents and all that.
No, I think you nailed it there. I think we're seeing the exact same story beats as Luke's. Yeah, I don't think he's going to become a Jedi, but he's going to become a member of the Resistance, and I think he's going to play a prominent role going forward, even if it's just in this one show. I'm excited to see where they're going to take his character. I really want to see them fly ships in space. I think that would really help fill that Star Wars gap.
Yeah.
Watching all these ships fly in atmosphere slightly, like, it just doesn't make it feel as Star Wars-ish to me.
It doesn't feel as three-dimensional because you have a ground. Like you have a...
Right.
I mean, it's water. It's not ground. But like you have a surface. So you can't get quite the same sort of three-dimensional environment as you can in space. Yeah.
And then in the first episode, he's flying an X-Wing, bringing secret plans to the Resistance. And now he's working as a mechanic and he's spying or trying to spy on the First Order. That's not... It seems very different from episode one to where we are right now.
True. Yeah.
Like I said, Kaz is a character that he's been described by Chris, who's the voice actor, as young, smart, naive. Like he tries to do, he wants to assume the role and the responsibility of helping the Resistance, but he's not mature enough. And I think that we're going to see his growth throughout the series. And I'm kind of looking forward to how that goes. But there were some points where I was just rolling my eyes and I was like, come on, kid, just listen to Jaeger and just do whatever you have to do. And then just be a mechanic. Like, how hard can that be? But again, he sees the races. He sees the ships. Like Fred said, at the very beginning of the first episode, he's flying, he's in combat, he's has a mission. And here he's just stagnant. So is that what's causing that frustration? That he'd rather be somewhere else. Like you said, Eric, there's that parallel between him and Luke. Is this Luke whining and complaining because right now he's with Yoda and he wants to be a Jedi and he wants to know how to use the Force so quickly, and Kaz is here and he wants to help the Resistance and do that quickly, and he wants to find the spy really quickly, but he just can't. So this is his journey as he learns. So Yoda... Yeah. To Luke as Jaeger to Kaz, in a sense.
Well,
so.
And I think you nailed something that's pretty important there, too. He was already with the Resistance. He was already, as Fred said, flying X-Wings. Mm-hmm. So this is a downgrade. Now he's a mechanic, whereas Luke knew there was something out there beyond what he was doing. He knew that he was meant for something bigger than that. Kaz has already been something bigger than that, and now he has to go undercover and live a horrendously boring life, not just in racing these ships, but basically in fixing them and not even getting to partake in the races. So that frustration is also an insult of some sort, too. It's a kick in the teeth. So I can understand.
And we also have, I was just going to say that we also see a little bit of like a small amount of tension between him and his father.
Yeah.
That he does not approve of him. Yeah. Well, he doesn't approve that he's in the resistance. And I feel like him being downgraded is also, I'm letting everybody down even further. So,
yeah.
Well, I think there's maybe I can make a little prediction. I think his father's going to be a big player in the resistance.
We never see.
Or already is. Yeah.
Oh.
Or maybe in the First Order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could be. He's a senator. That's all we know so far. But he does give away that he's with the resistance, like Kaz did when he's talking to his father and he's asking for help.
Yeah.
And then he hung up on him. So yeah, if he was for the First Order, that'd be a really interesting plot twist.
Yeah. His father's definitely, his father is definitely going to play some sort of a role in this, a significant one. I mean, that was some pretty heavy foreshadowing there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that that aspect of Kaz's character is going to be more well-defined as we go along. I have to say, like, as we're talking it through right now, I'm trying to think more and more about the comparisons and contrasts between Ezra and Kaz. And Ezra was a little bit darker a character in the sense that he was basically a street rat. He was on his own. His parents were kidnapped or dead or whatever the situation was. And there was a certain level of desperation there. Kaz comes across as a character who has already displayed some competency and has already achieved something, then has that taken away from him. He didn't lose his parents, but he's a bit estranged from his parents, at least his dad. We don't know. They don't mention his mother at all, right?
No.
Okay. So there are some differences there, too, despite some similarities.
I kind of get the feeling that he has lived the high life and he's just rebelling. No pun intended.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, high life. I mean, he's an X-Wing pilot, so that's not nothing. Yeah. You know, that's prominent. I mean, he's not. Oh, and he's the son of a senator, so I'm sure there's been some level of affluence.
Privilege.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I kind of get that feeling from him, and that he kind of expects a lot of things, or like he was saying, oh, if you want some money, let me just give my dad a call.
Right.
He'll bail me out again.
Right.
No big deal.
But we do pretty quickly see that he is smart, as Andrea said, and he does want to do the right thing. Morals and ethics matter to him on some level. Yeah, his work ethic isn't all that great, but his morals, at least, he wants to do the right thing and he wants to help people.
And we do see that in episode 3.
Especially,
and when we see him with Jace, who's the blondie.
Played by Elijah Wood.
I was so excited to see that. So he goes into Yeager's office and he sees the pictures. And again, you reveal a little bit more about who Yeager is. But he's like, I don't really think we should be here. So again, he does have that sense of guilt, sense of like, oh no, I am screwing up. And we do see that also at the very end when he is apologizing and he is expecting to be fired.
Right.
So I appreciate that they're kind of teaching him a lesson as we continue forward.
Yeah. I like that they are tearing him down and then rebuilding him into a character that will have some substance. I said that I wasn't sold on the series yet, but I expect to be. This is only, I've seen three episodes, well, I guess, production-wise, four episodes so far, and I guess I'm about to see a fifth tonight. we have to give it some time to actually build these characters and to take the story somewhere meaningful. And sometimes a meaningful story takes some time to build. Mm-hmm. In our Discord server, there's been a lot of discussion. A lot of people are ambivalent toward the series. They're saying it skews too young. It's not that interesting. And I agree with a lot of their points, but I keep telling them, but I was at the same point in Rebels and in Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. At this point, three or four episodes in, Rebels was merely okay to me. It wasn't until later on in the first series that I felt, or in the first season, that I fell in love with it. I expect that this will end up being the same thing. We just have to give a little bit of time to get there. And it sounds like in this upcoming episode for this week, it starts to move in that direction a little more prominently.
I feel like the best way to describe it is that, and I'll bring this one because I think it, like, I'm trying to think of another TV show that does this, but if I were to tell somebody to start watching The Expanse, mm-hmm. I would have to give them a disclaimer, get through the first season. After that,
right,
you're good to go, because the first season is all about world building.
World building, yeah. Get at least to CBQ, if you can, or
yeah,
CQB.
I was just going to say.
Get to
exactly,
CQB.
Like, and that's very important, because if you just base it on the first two or three episodes, you're going to be turned off by the series. You're not going to want to learn about it, and you're going to regret it because it just gets better. So I think that that's what's happening here is that
I keep telling people that about The Expanse, but by the second episode, they're like, what are you talking about? It's really good. I'm like, no, it's not good until the fourth episode. They're like, no, it's good now, just Eric, wait. Stop being so defensive. But you know, The Expanse though, it's also a lot easier when you have an adult show skewed toward an adult demographic, because you can jump cut right to particular emotional moments that can be displayed visually or through body language or through adult relationships between two people. You know, a single line, a single comment between a couple, for example, can speak volumes about their relationship. In a show that's designed to also appeal to kids, there has to be a little bit more hand-holding. There has to be a little bit more explaining. So that process is a lot slower. You're right. It is exactly the same type of thing that we tell people with The Expanse. But it's just that it perhaps even more strongly in a family-type show is mm-hmm. it more critical to give it that time to build up.
Now, The Expanse and The Resistance are both doing something that I really, really don't like.
Okay. What's that?
Uh-oh.
They're limiting it to 10 episodes.
Yes.
You kidding me? I want more.
Listen. I am all about our international listeners, and I very much try to break out of this isolationist mold that Americans here in the United States get accused of being in. But one way in which I am very bitter to our former rulers from across the pond is the introduction of these seasons of 10 episodes instead of the 20 to 22 episodes that we used to get.
Oh, Trek used to be 26. I'll take 52. Like, just throw it at me.
The best season of television ever was the second season of the Transformers animated show from the 1980s. You know how many episodes were in that season?
Oh, boy.
52 episodes.
Perfect.
Perfect. Wow. You have a whole year. That's the way it should be. Yep. No, I love our UK listeners and everybody over there, but come on. Really, 10 episodes a season?
Now, see, at least The Expanse is an hour-long show. This is only 30 minutes, well, 22 minutes, really.
Yeah. You're killing us.
I want more. So it's going to feel like we're hitting the ground running, and it's good, and then it's like, oh, we have to wait another year.
Well, mm-hmm. effectively, we're halfway through this first season now.
Already. Really? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's really tough. I have to say, I think that is a mistake. I understand that they need to kind of get their feet wet with this series and any series. I mean, let's face it, for production for television networks, especially streaming networks, it's safer to only do 10 episodes. You're not investing as much money in something until you know whether it's going to work, whether it's going to be accepted. And if it's not going to be a success, you don't want to invest a whole lot in it yet. But still, on the flip side, from the audience point of view, if something ends up being really good or takes a while to get going, and then you really get into it and then it stops, that's rough. That's hard on the audience.
Yeah, I think we need to maybe revisit this when we watch the season finale and just see how we feel at the end. But I understand that whole leave them wanting more, but I think it's just a little too little.
I think it should be like when you sit down for a meal and you have a good appetizer and then you have a wonderful entree and some good sides and then maybe even a dessert and you think to yourself, wow, I can't wait to have this again. When can we do this again? How's next week? As opposed to, here's the appetizer. Okay, come back next month for the entree. Well, no. I want to walk away wanting more for next time, but still being full from this meal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope we get that. Listen, I have faith. I don't want to be a naysayer here. I have faith that this series is going to be successful, that the story is going to pick up, that we are going to want more of it, that we are going to be satisfied with what we get in season one. So I don't want to come across as being negative here. I have to say that I like the vast majority of what I've seen. The story has been a little slow to take off, and I'm a little disappointed that in a 10-episode series, we got a filler episode at all, let alone it be the second episode. Though I also have to say, to be fair, this is not the first time we've seen this. There are a lot of shows I can think of where the second episode is kind of just there. And I'm not really sure why that is. I don't know if that's a strategic thing or what. And then there are some shows where the second episode is one of the best in the season, like Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, 33, I think it was.
Well, yeah, you had the opening movie, and then the next episode is 33 and a third or something like that.
No, you're thinking Naked Gun 33 and a third. Yeah, oh, Naked maybe. Gun, nope. And then Naked Gun 2.5, and then Naked Gun 33 and a third. That was the third in the trilogy. No, I think it was just called 33. Every 33 minutes, they would have to jump again. So if you count that as the second episode and the pilot is the first episode, that was one of the best episodes of that season, if not the entire series. But then you get other shows where the second episode, things just really drop off. Even even Firefly. The what was the train episode called? I can't believe I can't remember the name of the episode.
I know which one you're talking about.
Huh?
I know which one you're talking about. But yeah, that one was released first, but wasn't actually the first episode.
Yeah, Fox messed all that up so bad. But as a second episode, and I understand that it kind of sucked because they had to remake a pilot out of it, but it was one of the worst episodes of the season, I think. The train job, right? Was that what it was called?
I'd have to look it up.
Yeah. But it's so anyway, my point is that Lucasfilm is not the only group doing this with their shows, nor are they the only ones doing 10 episode seasons. Everybody's doing that now. So these little things we're nitpicking about are not exclusive to the Resistance. This is something that is common. And we can't really use that as a judgment against this show. I have to say, again, I love the animation style now. And the characters are really good. We talked a little bit about Kaz. Neeku is awesome. He does not come across as annoying at all, I don't think.
I love him. I think he's hilarious.
I love Neeku. And it's so hard to get comedy right. And they do a really good job of it. And it works on a level that doesn't come across so much as slapstick as it comes across as that person who doesn't understand nuance and takes everything so literally and almost like unintentionally making bad puns, because that's kind of how puns work, is it's taking things literally when that's not the correct context. I love Neeku.
He's like the Drax of Resistance.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I think he's awesome. I have to say that there could be more in regards to character building, but I think that the important characters, they're doing a good job with Kaz, Jaeger, Neeku. Now, I have to say, beyond those three, I think they've been trying to spread it out so much that we haven't gotten a lot of development yet.
There is, what's the female character? The one that's in the team. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not yet.
We're getting there, though.
You get to see a little bit more of her in the next episode. So that's, again, that's nice. It's like every single episode you're devoting it to expanding and letting one character grow.
Right. And character introduction needs to be a careful thing, because otherwise the characters end up being shallow and then you don't care about them. And so I think they've been handling it properly. That's not a complaint that we don't know much about these other characters yet. The main characters that we need to focus on, we have focus, and that's good.
The character that I'm most interested in knowing more about right now is Jaeger. Mm-hmm. I think what they've really told us about him, I want to know more about his backstory, what his history is with Poe, where his family is.
Right.
I think they've put a lot of seeds there, and I want to see what they sprout into.
Yeah, and I think that the seeds they put there, they've done it really effectively. It doesn't come across as heavy-handed teasing. It's just, you are supposed to accept this guy.
Yep.
We don't know why yet, so that makes us ask questions. It's not like they're introducing many questions to us. They're getting us to ask.
Now, a question. Do you guys think that his family died somehow, and he will kind of like adopt Kaz as his own and kind of treat him as a son eventually?
I think he's treating everyone, that all his mechanics, as part of his family. I don't think you are an employee when you're with him.
Yeah.
You're there for life.
I agree with that. I think that they're probably going to go that route. I have to say that it feels like so many shows do that.
Yes,
that
I
it
agree.
Feels like a bit of a trope, a bit of a stereotypical character template. But I trust that they will handle this differently enough that it'll work. I mean, when you think about it, though, too, a lot of times if you are in a work environment with a small group of people where people have to take on multiple different roles in order to help each other out because you have a limited number of people and it's an important job, you're relying on one another, the longer you are there, you really do end up being more of a family unit. So
It does
fit. It makes sense inherently within the environment, not just within Jaeger as a character. So I don't mind that too much. But yeah, it would not surprise me if we find out that... See, I think they're kind of hinting at Jaeger being involved in some big battle situations and maybe some... I don't know, some PTSD as a result, and he's kind of taken this out in the middle of nowhere as a way to get away from all that. I don't know. I'm very curious where they're going to take Jaeger.
I agree. I like him.
I really hope his family isn't dead. I know that's a story point that a lot of people go back to the well for, and it's used over and over again. So I want to say it's something else. Maybe he can't live with them anymore because of what's happened to his past, or maybe they're captured and he's just never known that they're still alive, or something other than them just being dead.
Or his kids have grown up and they're off doing their own thing. I mean, they're just not there. It could just be as simple as that.
Well, that's less exciting.
Well, what happened to his wife?
But it's not about... him. Like it's not about the backstory. It's about the situation right now. And I guess I'm okay with not having a ridiculously elaborate backstory for this other character who's just kind of the mentor figure. What do we know about Obi-Wan Kenobi's backstory or children or family? Or, well, I guess we know
they
a
never
little
tell
bit
us,
now because of the prequels.
If they never tell us, they'll be happy.
Yeah.
Like, they'll be fine. Leave it a mystery.
Yeah, they've done enough foreshadowing now that they need to tell us a little bit, but it doesn't need to be a lot.
In today's day and age, of course, we're going to find out absolutely everything.
Yes.
We're going to get a chronological event calendar of everything that's happened in his life.
But Pablo Hidalgo is going to call into the show, and he's going to give us the rundown.
Yep.
Yeah. You hear that, Pablo?
Episode 100, right?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I wonder. We should contact Tracy and see what we can arrange. Andrea, we need to talk.
Yeah, Tracy. Yeah, my friend.
You know, sure. Tracy Canovio? She's the media relations person for Lucasfilm.
Oh, yeah. I have her in my, DMs. I could just shoot her a message.
You too, Eric.
we'll talk. I'll get you some info and we'll talk and maybe we'll
I can do it. No worries.
I'm horrible about getting people for interviews. I always feel like I'm pestering them and then I just.
It's because you are.
I know. But Andrea, on the other hand, is so skilled at pestering people that she would be the perfect person. Yes, Andrea is very charming.
I've gotten a lot of interviews. So if you tell me that I'm pestering, I am not giving you any more interviews.
I am so impressed with the tight beam and what you've succeeded. You and Shannon both with the tight beam and the connections you guys have. I'm not making fun of you. I'm not mocking you right now. Please understand.
I'm such an annoyance.
That's true, but I'm not mocking you. I'm not pointing it out. Those were your words. Don't want to kill anybody this episode, remember?
I guess now we can make the announcement that I am not going to be here for the 100 episode because I quit after this one.
Wait a minute. No. Well, no. Speaking of controversy, I guess that's the best transition I'm going to get here. I did not know that there was a change.org petition, but given that this is a new Star Wars property, I should have known.
I was so amazed when I came across this afternoon looking for talking points. But there's a change.org petition to cancel Star Wars Resistance and use the existing budget for a Haldo spinoff.
Hondo.
Sorry. Haldo. Haldo spinoff.
The Haldo spinoff would be good if it's a prequel. Because otherwise it would just be after a coffin kinda, floating around in space.
So just over 1,100 people have signed this. I don't know what's wrong with humanity.
This change.org petition thing is so silly. Unless it's about bringing me back for episode 100.
Oh my gosh. look at... So I'm going to... I can't believe I'm falling for this clickbait here.
Did you actually click on it?
I did. Eric. And look at this. So there's exactly one paragraph. There's not even like a big long explanation justifying why they think this is important, why they think it should be done. Here's what it says. Star Wars Resistance, and they put it in lowercase, so good job. Star Wars Resistance may turn out great, but we can't take that chance. What?
I know, right?
What? You can say that about everything.
We can take that chance, and that's exactly what we should do because it could turn out to be great. Like the logic there is so, my brain hurts so bad after reading that sentence.
Imagine if they had that mentality when they started filming Star Wars.
Stop for a sec. So they want to spend this money on a Hondo spinoff, but isn't that also taking a chance?
It could also be great, but we can't take that chance either.
Exactly.
My brain hurts so bad right now.
Drink water. You're taking a big chance.
That's true. It could be great, but hydration could be great, but we can't take that chance.
That being said, I would absolutely love it. If Hondo made a guest appearance on the Colossus.
It wouldn't surprise me if he does at some point.
Because it's a show about pirates.
Yeah.
And who's the most notorious pirate that we've met throughout all of Star Wars?
Right.
Me.
Andrea. No, Andrea. It's Hondo. Or Haldo.
Haldo. Admiral Hondo.
Perfect.
Well, you know, we are going to get Hondo at Galaxy's Edge at the Disney parks.
I did read that, didn't I?
Yes. He is
we're talking about that in Discord.
He's going to be a prominent character there. Apparently, he is going to be the narrator of sorts for the Falcon ride.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
And I don't know if they're going to have an actor dressed up as him or an animatronic, but apparently they are going to actually have a physical Hondo there as part of the ride. I think it's probably going to be animatronic. So we are getting more Hondo. And awesome. You know, Dave Filoni, you know, Hondo's going to show up in Resistance at some point.
I really hope he does. Now, that being said,
that could turn out great if Hondo shows up, but we can't take that chance.
We can't take it. No.
This guy just created a meme and didn't even know it.
Eric, you can't go to work today. You can't take that chance.
My paycheck could be great, but we can't take that chance. I should tell my employer to just hold on to it.
I think we just created like the best thing ever.
Wow. Kudos, Fred. This is good.
This is money.
Yo, yeah. Wow. My brain is, I can feel it melting and turning to mush and oozing out my ears right now. This is okay. So
before we leave the Disney point, I am planning a trip down to Disneyland for the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge for September next year. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, good. I may have to see what I can do if I can afford to get down there. Now, are you going to be staying at the Star Wars Resort?
Now, that's the one that's like $3,000 a night.
Oh, dear.
I hope they haven't given us numbers yet because I don't want it to be that expensive. $3,000 a night. Is there a masseuse that comes into your room and gives you a massage to put you to sleep at night?
No, this is the hotel that does the night? Full role play.
Yeah.
Wasn't it $3,000 a night or something ridiculous like that?
Maybe Canadian.
Maybe it was Canadian. Maybe
Canadian dollars, so like which is like what, $1.50 here in the U.S.? So, oh, I went there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope it's not $3,000. That's, no, it can't be. That's like a penthouse in Dubai or something. I mean, that's.
No, maybe it was a week.
Maybe a week. $3,000 a week would sound more reasonable. Yeah,
but no, anyway, yes, it was a full role play hotel. So all the hotel staff are in full costume.
Yep.
And acting their part the entire time you're there.
And once you are up the elevators, or if you're from Britain, the lifts, once you get off that first floor, you are on a starship. Like you're on a capital ship. The hallways, the viewpoint, like there are no windows. It's just you look out what are supposed to be windows into space with other ships flying by and planets. And at different times of day, there are different actual events with real cast members, like you said, the hotel staff who interact. And they send you on quests and you get basically resistance points or first order points. And it's all tracked by an RFID chip in your... I don't know if it's your hotel card or your name badge or something like that. And that affects different results that you get in different ways in which quests can branch off. There's supposed to be an AR room, not an AR room, a VR room where you can put on, you know, the goggles and the gloves and do lightsaber battles and things like that. And
how much time do we need there? Three months?
Sounds like you go there and you skip the parks for at least a day and do a lot of this stuff, which if that's how, if it's that good that they've got it set up, then great. But I think even if, I mean, maybe you just need a break from the parks for a while and you come back to the hotel and you hang out and you do some of these things. Apparently there is a direct connection physically between the hotel and the Star Wars area of the Disney park. So you can, traverse back and forth directly, which is good.
This sounds awesome. I'm going to be broke.
Sounds like it is $3,000 a night. Well, even if we don't do that, maybe we'll have to see if any other random chatter listeners want to go around that time and maybe we'll do a get together or something.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about it when it gets a little closer, when the park is open. And
yeah, if I can afford to get down there for it.
Cool.
That would be good. Maybe Lucasfilm will do some kind of promo thing to get all of the different podcasters down there, like they did with the Star Wars Day at Sea on the Disney cruise.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah. See, Andrea, this is why we need to get in good with Tracy again.
So there's a word that you're not saying, Eric.
I beg you.
Oh, that one is actually nice.
Wow, that was better than please, Fred.
See, he knows.
Fred knows. Fred, you are now officially Andrea's handler. I'm going to go to you to get to her for things. That's good.
I can translate for you.
This is
what Eric meant translate to say.
Andrea speak. How is the Star Wars Commander group going? I think we mentioned that last episode, which I think is probably going to get posted tomorrow morning as we record this, but
So we have four members so far. Again, we're only really sharing through Discord so far until the episode drops.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to see we're going to get a little boom in the community there.
And what's the name of it?
So the name of the game is Star Wars Commander. The squad that Andrew and I created is RCN Shadow Hunters.
Okay.
So you just log into the game. I think you have to complete the training. And then once you hit level 2, when the training's complete, you can join a squad. And you just click on the squad center and search for RCN Shadow Hunters. We'll link it again in Discord when the episode drops tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it will send an invite over to Andrea and I, and we'll accept you into the squad.
Excellent. It is a very good game. It is easy to learn. There's a tutorial system that walks you through what you need to know.
Be careful with who you choose to align yourself with.
She yes. says, as she asks people to align themselves with her.
So the squad that we have, so you can have Rebel squads or you can have Empire squads. Mm-hmm. We have created an Empire squad. Now, last episode, I did allude to the fact that you can play both sides and you can switch between the two. Now, that's a functionality that is only for players that had previously set it up. They removed the functionality about a year ago. So you're grandfathered if you used it, but all new players won't have that option.
Interesting. I did not
know that. So you'd have to either re-roll a new character or just
have a second device.
Yeah, or exactly.
If you have an iPhone and an iPad, for example, you could create two different accounts if you had two different email addresses and played two different
right characters. Well, okay, so in an iPhone, if you linked your Commander to the Apple Play Store, is it? The Game Center?
Game Center, yeah.
You couldn't join the second Apple under the same account to the Game Center. You'd have to just either do it standalone or link it to Facebook or something else.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Because it'll only allow you to have one account per email address.
Is it only iOS or is it available on Android as well?
It is available on Android and Facebook.
Okay. Good. So, there you go. RCN Shadow Hunters. That is the squad name. And it is Empire only. So, all you rebels out there, too bad.
We're coming after you.
We're
putting order back in this galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
I just got a new phone. I need to put it back on my phone again.
We just got so sidetracked. What was this episode about again? Resistance? Oh, yeah.
I think we were done with Resistance, though. Is there anything else you guys wanted to say about Resistance?
I'll just see.
I mean, I know we'll talk about it again as we get further along. We'll do another chunk of episodes at some point soon.
Yeah. When do you want to do the next one? Right now, we're kind of at episode 4, which is episode 3. Do you want to do it again at, say, episode 6 or 7?
We'll do like 5, 6, and 7, and then 8, 9, and 10.
Perfect.
Cool. So we'll do another 2 more episodes focusing on Resistance for this season, and that should carry us through the season. And then we can whine and complain about how it's only 10 episodes long and we need more, and we need it right now, dang it.
I'm looking forward to that.
Filoti, get up off your butt and give us more episodes, man. What are you doing? Okay. All right, so that's going to do it for this episode, then, unless you guys have some sort of a movie pitch idea.
I might have a pitch for you.
Uh-oh.
To make to Filoni. And it's not to double the number of episodes, but...
Oh, that would have been an easy pitch.
Yeah.
Dave, more. Thanks. Like, just those three words. That's all we need.
All right. So I would like you to pitch to Disney what the story would look like if Jaeger was actually working for the First Order.
Well, Jaeger is actually working for the First Order. We're going to see that play out.
Do tell me.
Oh, wow. Okay. So first, I want to say congratulations, Fred, because this is the toughest one yet. I was not prepared for this one. I wasn't prepared for the others either, but like I've got nothing here. Okay. So the backstory, this is not how you would present it in the show, but the backstory for Jaeger is that he did lose his family, and he lost his family as a result of a First Order battle, but the battle happened because someone in the Resistance screwed up. And in fact, it was Poe who screwed up. He was a hero in this battle, and he saved a lot of lives in this battle and turned the tide and made it so the Resistance was able to escape from this particular location that they were set up at, which was basically like a research post or just some sort of an outpost somewhere. But it's also kind of Poe's fault because... in taking on some aspect of some mission that he got in a little over his head and did the whole hero thing a little bit too much, it brought attention to him. And that's how the First Order ended up locating this base, basically by following him back somehow. In that initial strike, Jaeger's wife and children were killed. Jaeger found out that it was due to Poe doing this thing that he really didn't need to have done in the first place. Jaeger became disillusioned with the Resistance, left, went to Colossus, and through various different connections, initially at first with pirates and stuff, and well, even before that with merchants as he was trying to get parts for these different racers. He has a racer, as we find out in the third episode, in episode 104. While he was building and polishing that up, the merchants that he went through had pirate affiliations and they had First Order affiliations. And when members of the First Order discovered that Jaeger was former Resistance, they got with him and convinced him that the Resistance needs to be eliminated. They are a threat to the galaxy. They're basically a bunch of guerrilla fighters that are causing more problems than not. And the First Order, they just want to carve out a little place for themselves in their own corner of the galaxy. And, you know, out in the unknown regions, what's wrong with that? Why does the Resistance have to come in and start causing problems for them and being all gung-ho? Look, even the New Rebellion, the New Republic, they don't want the Resistance around. Look at the very government themselves do not approve of Leia Organa setting up this Resistance. She has to do it underground and funneling money from different places just to get it up and running. That should tell you something. And Jaeger agrees. He thinks the Resistance, it causes more problems than it does solve anything, because there's no problem to solve. It's creating its own problem to solve just by its existence, which is ridiculous. So, throughout the course of the show, The Resistance, we are going to find that Jaeger actually does not have any love for the Resistance. He does not want it to still be around. He is using Kaz as a way to discover more information about what Poe is up to. So Kaz is unintentionally, unwittingly a double agent. That's the pitch.
And this is where in the episode that we record, we're like, seriously, we need more episodes.
Right.
Touche, my friend. Touche. Very nice.
See, I should work for Lucasfilm.
should.
I could be in the writer's room and I'd drop the mic and I'd stand up and walk out and all the writers would look at each other and say, wow, that was really good comic relief. We need to come in here, have him come in like every week. Okay, so back to what we were doing. Let's go on with the actual story now.
Oh.
But yeah, I could be like their chief morale officer. Go in and cheer them up with some ridiculous thing. And then after that, anything they come up with is going to look good, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So Lucasfilm, if you're listening, give me a call.
No, that's great. Thanks a lot.
All right. That one scared me a little bit. Okay. We want to hear from everybody else out there. We want to hear from you. Send us emails at outerrim@randomchatter.com. Let us know what you thought of Resistance. Did you like it? If you didn't care for it much yet, are you willing to hang in there and see if it takes you someplace that you enjoy the series? Are you willing to give it a chance? If you are not willing to give it a chance, if you have decided that it is definitely not for you, you are already so turned off to it that you don't want to see any more of it, let us know that too. We want to know why. We are curious, and we're not going to poke fun of you. We're not going to tear apart your opinions. That's not what we are about here. We are about the collection of Star Wars fans enjoying whatever aspect of Star Wars they enjoy. Everybody has different things about Star Wars they like. You don't have to like Resistance. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you don't, we would like to know why, just out of curiosity, because we value your opinions and we want to know where you're coming from with that. So whether you like it, whether you dislike it, whether you're on the fence, we want to hear from you. Again, outerrim@randomchatter.com is where you can get us an email. Our Instagram and Twitter accounts are going to become active again. Yay! We've got one for Random Chatter and for Force Chatter. Force Chatter is going to be the one that is Star Wars specific and is going to accommodate both the Outer Rim and Echo Base. And if I decide to go back to Aren't You a Little Short for a Podcast again, it'll cover that too. We now have Mike from the Cape Chronicles and the DC Talk podcasts. He is our social media coordinator for the Random Chatter Network. So congratulations and condolences, Mike. You are the lucky winner, so to speak.
Poor soul.
I know, right? So he is now going to be handling our social networking. So we are going to have more of a presence there. And we have always had a pretty strong presence in our Discord server, if you haven't noticed. So head on over there and hang out with us. Discuss Resistance. Discuss the Outer Rim. We have different channels for each one of the shows on the network. Separate from that, the people who donate through Patreon, we do have more channels available, a lot more channels. We have a separate section for Star Wars. We do have a channel dedicated just to the Resistance, as well as a lot of other things. In The Mandalorian, the upcoming movies, we've got spoiler channels. We've got a lot of Star Wars content available in Discord, and we are always looking for more audience members to come and participate. If you want to just lurk and read what other people post, that's fine too, but I'm telling you, we've got a really strong family and community there that we are really proud of. The people who participate there. Some great discussion. So for more information on that, head over to randomchatter.com/discord. It is free to join. You don't have to donate anything at all. If you choose to donate something, if you do want to help out the network, most of the people who do only donate $1 a month. That's all. And we appreciate that. That adds up a lot. So randomchatter.com/Patreon will give you more information about that as well. We would love for you to come hang out with us. Share us out on social media. Let other people know about the show. That would be great. Tell your friends about us. Leave us reviews. We appreciate any way in which you help support the network and the show. The music you hear in the show is the Cantina Band finale by DJ Elliot, who I hope will also be there for the opening of Galaxy's Edge. That would be very cool. A lot of times they'll have like, you know, after parties and stuff like that. And he's typically the DJ for those Disney events. He's very good.
Awesome.
Yeah. I can't wait to get to see him live again. So anyway, the Cantina Band finale by DJ Elliot. You can find his stuff on SoundCloud. Asilius has sent in sounds. All trademarks are owned by their respective owners, typically Disney and Lucasfilm. Please don't sue us. And that's it. Until next time, Take care. It's a trap.